You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. All right, here's Rick with part two of a message called, Why Does It Matter What I Believe?
Now here's another worldview. It's summed up in the theme, whatever works for you. In other words, may not be my shtick, but if it works for you, fine. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. Doesn't matter if it hurts anybody or not. If it works for you, fine. As that great theologian Sly Stone said, different strokes for different folks. Now, in our multicultural world, in our pluralistic world, this one's a real popular view because nobody wants to say, well, what you're doing's not right. The only thing that's wrong in our society today, a lot of people believe, is when you tell somebody something's wrong, and then you're wrong. And this idea of, well, whatever works for you, there's a word for that view of life. That worldview is called pragmatism. And pragmatism says, whatever works is what you do. Well, there's a problem with that. There are things that work that are evil. If you bug me, and you're really irritating me, I could shoot you and you'd be out of my life. That'd be very pragmatic. It worked for me. The only problem is it's evil. It was pragmatism behind Hitler's decision to kill 6 million Jews in World War II. Whatever works, let's just wipe them out. Well, it might have worked for him, but it was evil. And the Bible says this. In Proverbs 21, there is a way that seems right for a man, but in the end, it leads to death. It seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. A lot of things might seem right. Well, whatever works for you, but in the end, it leads to death. You see, you don't break God's universal laws. They break you. And you can say, well, I don't believe in them, but they're still there. For instance, if I were to come to say to you, I don't believe in the law of gravity. Well, whatever works for you. Whatever works for you. Well, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in the law of gravity. Well, whatever works for you, fine. So I say, well, let's go over to New York City. So we go to New York City. I climb up on top of the Empire State Building. And I get on the top, and I'm going to jump off. I say, you go down about floor 50. I'll meet you on the way down. So I jump off this Empire State Building because I believe there's no such thing as a law of gravity. Whether I believe it or not, it exists. But I jump off, and coming down around floor 50, you stick your head out the window and you go, how's it going? And I say, well, so far so good. Whatever works for you. There's a way that seems right in the middle of the fall, but in the end, it ends in death. I meet whatever works for you people all the time. And people who say, so far, so good, all the time. You cheating on your wife? Yeah, how's it going? So far, so good. Okay. You being unethical? You stealing from your business? Yeah, how's it going? So far, so good. Okay. Are you getting strung out on drugs or alcohol? Yeah, how's it going? So far, so good. And I meet people all the time who their marriage is headed for crack up, their business, their personal life, their relationships, their health, all headed for a crack up. And they're saying, so far, so good. There's a way that seems right unto man, but it ends in death. Just because it's working now doesn't mean it's right. Does that make sense? Just because it's working now, just because you're not feeling the consequences of it yet, all ideas have consequences. Whatever works for you. That's pragmatism. Here's another one, another worldview. God doesn't exist, or if he does exist, he doesn't matter. Now, this worldview is called naturalism. Naturalism. It's also atheism, but most atheists don't even want to admit they're atheists. It says, you know, I just believe that everything in life is a result of random chance. We're all accidents of nature. There is no grand creator. There is no grand design. There is no God. And God does not exist, and God doesn't matter. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. If God doesn't exist and God doesn't matter, you don't matter. That's the logical, rational conclusion of that worldview. Because if there is no God and God doesn't matter, then you don't matter. Because you're just educated slime. You're just a freak accident of nature. And by sheer natural selection, you just happen to show up on the planet. So? And if you happen to get murdered, well, so? And if you happen to get run over by a car, well, so? It was a freak accident you're born. It's a freak accident that you died. If there is no plan, no purpose, no design in life, then your life doesn't matter. It has no value. Your only value comes in the fact that God loved you and created you and thought you up. Otherwise, your life has no value. It has no meaning. It has no purpose. Bertrand Russell was an atheist. The one thing I do agree with him, he says, if you remove the question of God, the question of purpose in life is irrelevant. Well, it's true. There is no purpose in life if there is no God, no design. It's just all an accident. That's the end result of naturalism. Now, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 1. From the beginning of creation, God has shown what he is like by all he has made. In other words, we look at nature and we see a lot of things about God. We know God is creative. We know God is powerful. We know God likes diversity. We know God is organized. There are a lot of things we know about God just by looking at nature. Without even reading the Bible, we can see what our Creator is like. It says, so, from the beginning of creation, God has shown what he's like by all he has made. That's why those people don't have any excuse. They know about God, but they don't honor him or even thank him. They claim to be wise, but they are fools. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Folks, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It takes a whole lot more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe in God. When you look at the creation and how the world is set on an axis, that 1 degree this way we'd freeze up, or 1 degree that way we'd burn up, and it spins at just the right speed, and all of the intricacies of the universe, it takes a far more deeper faith to believe that it just happened than to believe there was a designer behind it. Now, if I'm out in the middle of a desert, 1,000 miles from anybody, and I walk along on a desert path, and all of a sudden I see a little rock out of place, I might say, that's an accident. But if I'm walking along in a desert 1,000 miles from anybody, and I find a Rolex laying on the path, that's no accident. The evidence or the existence of a Rolex indicates a designer somewhere. I would not have enough faith to believe that that Rolex just created itself. But people who believe that God created, or the world was created without God, have a greater faith than that. They're saying, oh, I believe everything in the world is an accident. You got a lot more faith than I do. Faith in what? Faith in nothing. Now, this is naturalism. And if it does, as I said, if God doesn't exist, well then, and doesn't matter, you don't either. Here's another one that we find a lot. You are your own God. You see, if we don't worship God, we worship something. And a lot of times we just make it ourselves. And this idea, you're your own God, is very popular in America, this worldview, which says, I am the master of my fate. I am the determiner of my destiny. I am in charge. It's a lot of self-help stuff. It's a lot of New Age stuff. You're divine. You're a God. And of course, we love to hear that. That was the original temptation when Satan told Adam and Eve, eat this and you'll be gods. We just want to be our own God. As I told you about 3 weeks ago, you're not God. You're not even a teeny tiny mini me God. Okay? You're not. If you're God, why can't you solve all your problems? Okay? If you're God, please solve the problems of the world. You're not God. God is God and you're not. But we say, I am the master of my fate. And we think we have more control than we do. Now that worldview is called humanism. I am my own God. I am in charge. I am at the center of the universe. Not God, but I am at the center of the universe. And this is the view of the New Age movement. It's ironic that, as I said, God wired us to worship something. And if we don't worship God, we end up worshiping ourselves. The self-made man usually worships his maker. Or we start worshiping something that God created. It is amazing to me that a lot of people would rather worship something that God created or that they created instead of something who is the creator. The Bible says this in Romans 1. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worship created things rather than the creator. And you can go all around the world and find people worshiping little idols that they made. Stone idols, rock idols, crystals, wooden idols, and they're worshiping something that they themselves created or somebody else created. Or you come to America and we worship our own idols, and they're called cars and homes and status symbols. Now, there's one other worldview. It's the one that the Bible talks about. God made me for his purposes. And the Bible calls that theism. Theism. Theism comes from theo, which is the Greek word for God. Theology is the study of God. By the way, Timothy and Dorothy, both those names mean lover of God. It means a lover of God. And the Bible says that God created us for a purpose. Judaism and Christianity both are theistic worldviews. That God made us for a purpose. Colossians 1 says this, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Everything, absolutely everything was created by God for a purpose, by God and for God. And until you understand that, life does not make sense. Now, you know, there are two common myths about what you believe. One of them is the sincerity myth, and the other of them is the situational myth. The sincerity myth goes like this. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. You ever heard that one? It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. There's only one problem with that. You can be sincerely wrong. I've been sincerely wrong many, many times in my life. Anybody else want to admit you've ever been sincerely wrong? I mean, I thought it was going to work out. I was sure. I was confident. I was sincere that it was going to work out, and it didn't. Why? Because it takes more than sincerity to make it in life. Sincerity is not enough. I could have a glass of liquid here, and I sincerely think that it's water. But if I drink it and it's really arsenic, it's going to sincerely kill me. No matter how much I believe it's water, it's going to kill me. I read the other day about a pilot who sincerely flew into the side of a mountain. He sincerely thought that he was higher than he was. And no matter how much he believed he was higher, he wasn't. And eventually, sincerity cracks up as it runs into truth. Because truth isn't going to move. That mountain isn't going to move no matter how much you believe that you're higher than it. You see, truth is always true. If it was true 2,000 years ago, it's going to be true 2,000 years from today. In fact, if it's new, it's not true, because truth has been around forever. Now, we're constantly discovering truth. We discover more truth all the time. We're discovering truth about DNA and about genomes and all kinds of things. But it's been there all along. We just didn't know it, and so we had to discover truth. But truth is not new. It's been around from when God created the universe. So sincerity is not enough. I mean, I can sincerely say, well, I believe that the sun revolves around the earth. Well, it doesn't matter how sincere I am about it. I'm sincerely wrong. Just like all the people who sincerely believed the world was flat. It's not flat. And it never will be flat. I mean, when I have a doctor working on me, operating on me, and I'm laying on the operating table, I want more than sincerity. I want competency. I want truth. And the one thing I don't want to hear a doctor say when he's working on me is, oops. I sincerely didn't mean to do that. Okay? No, I want him to tie it off just right. Now, the other myth is the situational myth. And the situational myth says, it doesn't really matter what you believe because it all depends on the circumstance. And you can believe one thing in one situation and believe another thing in another and believe another in another. Well, that causes enormous amounts of stress in your life because it doesn't make sense. The fact is, those worldviews that we just were talking about, they're all in competition with each other. I don't know if you realize it, but they're all competing for your time, for your energy, for your effort, and especially for your money. And they're saying, no, no, you want to put materialism first. No, you want to put pleasure first. No, you want to put yourself first. You want to put all these other things. And you cannot believe them all at the same time. When you do, that creates stress in your life. Now, a lot of people like to pick and choose. And they say, you know, when I go on a date, I'll have this worldview. But when I go to church, I'll have this worldview. And then when I go over to work and I'm closing that deal, I'm going to have this worldview. And then when I need to cheat on a test at school, I'll have this worldview. It doesn't work that way. And, you know, you want to use what's convenient for you. But what happens is all that does is create confusion and stress and all kinds of negative emotions in your life. Truth is always true. Now, recently a couple of national surveys came out. One of them was a survey by the Barna Research Institute, and it suggested that a large share of the nation's problems are directly attributable to the absence of a biblical worldview among Americans. They went out and they did a national survey of 2,033 adults. They showed that only 4% of adults in America have a biblical worldview. 4%. Using that as the basis of decision-making. And the summary was, the primary reason people don't act like Jesus because they don't think like Jesus. Well, duh. Your beliefs determine your behavior. More shocking was the discovery that even among devoutly religious people, only 9% of born-again Christians actually hold to a biblical worldview that influences how they make decisions. Now, it's interesting that they discovered that adults, that gender, age, and income made no difference at all in worldview. Your gender, your sex, your age, and your income made no influence on your worldview. But adults that have a biblical worldview were, number one, twice as likely to have attended college. Interesting. Adults with a biblical worldview were more than twice as likely to attend college. And number two, were more twice as likely to be married. I don't know why. But interesting, the state with the people with the most biblical worldview, the most residents with a biblical worldview. Anybody want to guess the state? Texas. Texas. The state with the least biblical worldview? Louisiana. Isn't that interesting? Louisiana. It tied with the six northeastern states. California was in the middle. We were just average in biblical worldview. Then here's another survey that 62% of Americans consider themselves to be deeply spiritual. But when they drilled that down and said, well, how does that really affect your day-to-day decision-making? It didn't. In fact, 24% said that they make their moral choices based on what feels comfortable. In other words, I do whatever's comfortable. 16% said they make moral choices based on the Bible. 9% said they make moral choices based on what makes other people happy or causes the least conflict. That's called caving in. That's cowardice. That's being a people pleaser. If you make your decisions based on what makes other people happy, you don't have a life. You're a cipher. And then 7% said they make moral choices based on what produces the most beneficial outcome for me. Self-centeredness. Then they asked about absolute truth, and America was divided in three parts. One-third of America believes that moral truth is absolute, that it's not dependent on circumstance. If it's true, it's always true. Another one-third of America believes that morality and truth is always determined by the situation. And one other third of America believes that they don't even know if moral truth exists. That is why we're doing this series.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Now here's Rick with today's offer.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And in all of that time, the number one question I've been asked by people is this: how can I change, or why can't I change? I've talked to literally thousands and thousands of people who want to change but are just stuck, and they can't figure out how to get unstuck. You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written. When you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks for helping support Daily Hope. We love you, we thank God for you, and we hope you'll continue to listen to this broadcast as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.